can we get started again for the final feedback session of today? And Gary, to keep us on
track. Sure. And but I'm not fourth, because I won't be the last one between here and dinner or whatever. But we got through all three assigned questions in a spirited debate with not necessarily great unanimity in the room, but we did cover everything. I think the first question dealing with about the function versus nature, if you have a functional P&L, you've got to, at the group level, disaggregate the functions and your total natural expenses. I think the general sense was this is a nice-to-have, not a must-have. By the way, this was a comment, at least within the people in Group 1, this has never been raised to them before, and it's a little bit, kind of hits you a little bit too soon, too fast to really pontificate and think about it. What they would really like is expenses by operating segment, whether by function or by nature, however you run the company. That would be much more useful than it would be at the group level, you know, having total functional expenses, equally total natural expenses. And the sense is, if done at the group level, could probably be done. There would almost certainly be some reasonable, significant cost to do it for many companies. And you'd really have to debate, is this really worth it in it? And the people in the room who analyze by nature companies or a by nature reporting entity were one probably relieved and weren't asking for it by function as well. And probably to stop at that. For again, simply nice to have, be much better to have some expense disaggregation by segment. Okay. And quantitative thresholds, the sense was we're really only talking about the undefined other, either the balance sheet or the P&L, I suppose, could be by cash flow as well. The question was, first, is this perhaps more of an enforcement issue than it is? If it's material, it should be disclosed. IS-1 would otherwise require it, if it's material, to get more prominence and be buried in other. So the real question is, how big should the undefined other be allowed to be? And there was some concerns about, regulators and enforcers have got their own thresholds, which you may or be higher or lower than them, and what problems would that cause? And also, particularly in the EU zone, now auditors have a materiality threshold, and does that automatically apply to disaggregated disclosures of other, or is it a different threshold? And it was, auditor materiality is not necessarily external reporting materiality, and auditors might also be vis-a-vis recognition measurement as opposed to disaggregation, and that's undefined. There was a mixed view, the only practical way, perhaps, if not by threshold, by some analogous process, as opposed to just purely by judgment, because you'd say, well, if it's material today, it should not have been buried another to begin with. So that would say you would not break apart others. You need some sort of a mechanism to make it occur, but we weren't deciding what it was and recognized a threshold could do it, but a threshold becomes a rule and of itself might not solve the real problem at hand. Then lastly, on templates, sense was this would be, if you go this route, this is going to be a very long-term project. Do not assume any quick wins or anything. We did point out that of all the stuff in the disclosure initiative, this is about the last thing that's basically has been unaddressed, and at most we've just waded into it very recently, and we're really at the stage of what should we do if we should do anything, but it really has not developed anything beyond that. Comparability, templates would probably give a degree of comparability, but don't confuse, don't confuse uniformity with comparability. Big companies are very different from each other, even the same industry. So I'll use an example. If you're telecom, a lot of telecom companies own media companies and own cable companies. And a cable company is very different than a landline telecommunications provider, even though they're in the same industry group. So what do you do? And at the same time with the multinational conglomerates who've got multiple lines of business. And I pointed out that so far the discussion has largely been in the financial institution type arena, but that there's a big economy out there, you know, commercial, industrial, retail, and public utilities and everything else. So sense was there might be some merit, this is very, very long term, and we did not get to, is this really worth it? The people who pointed out, like major accounting firms, others, there are templates out there, and if you're going to go that route, maybe the best route would be to go into the industries themselves and ask them to have a working group and come back with a proposal.
Okay.
No, stop at that. If anyone in the group wants to build or hopefully not disagree, but feel free to do so if you want to.
Sounds good. That's great. Thank you, Gary.
Well, in my group, we had a very good discussion about disaggregation of line item of the financial statement by function. One investor, one user, strongly advocate that the disaggregation of line item of profit and loss statement by function is really necessary, because even if we have a financial statement with just entity basis by nature, it's not really useful. They want to analyze the detail of profitability by using the disaggregation of cost of sales and SGA. So how much the employee cost, how much is depreciation. Those numbers are really important. And the other investor really agreed with that view. Having said that, the preparers has a completely different view, especially preparer. In our group, our preparers came from the manufacturer. So for the manufacturer, it is kind of useless to provide disaggregation. The reason why they said is quite interesting, and I myself learned. And of course, the company produced some production, and then it includes labor cost, depreciation, and also it costs research and development cost. However, when it comes to the cost of sales, it will be the cost of sales via inventory. So they have production, and that includes the cost of labor and the cost of R&D, but it will standardized, and then it capitalized as an inventory. And once it is capitalized as an inventory, when it comes to profit or loss statement as a cost of sales, it comes from inventory. So therefore, it's not possible to provide the detail of inventory because it's already capitalized. And they have variety of inventories. It's a mixture. So to track down all these ingredients into the financial statement basis is totally impossible. Having said that, it's possible to provide cost of production. So cost of production is different from cost of sales. Cost of sales is disaggregation of profit and loss statement for the current year. But the cost of production is the detail of the capitalized costs. So it doesn't really match, but they can still provide the cost of production. So that is what we learned from our discussion. And then we discussed about the threshold issue, whether or not it's a good idea to introduce threshold. Of course, in order to impose some discipline threshold may work, because one user said some companies provide big number of others in simply to hide some large expenses. But that is, you know, the matter of enforcement. Having said that, in the international environment, how can I assure such enforcement? And then during the discussion, we came up with somehow good idea. Good idea is, you know, just ask them to explain why you have such a large number. So if you have large number like 70% of others, sometimes you may be hiding something, but there might be the case that some ingredients of others could be only 1% of 70 different items. Say, for example, if you are asked to provide the list of the company, so if you have operation in 140 companies and each of them a very small number, in that case, to provide the list of 140 country is country or company is meaningless. So then you can explain in such a way. So then the user can understand you are not hiding a big amount of line item covered by the with the label of other. So this kind of requirement may work better. And for the template, actually, the discussion was almost same as what Gary explained. So nothing incremental, exactly the same discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. So then in terms of group three, on the first question around by function and by nature, I should say we had two preparers in our group who reported by function and two who reported by nature. The two who reported by function told us that some lines would be easier than others to report by nature, but provide the whole P&L, provide those whole totals by nature simply wasn't possible given the systems they have today. So there's a caution and questions about cost there. We also had a debate amongst users whether the value of reporting by function and by nature, and here we had mixed views. I think in terms of our thinking about a path forward, perhaps where we found some common ground was really thinking about whether our time was better spent trying to define elements of gross profit or trying to say what gross profit is, or saying should we have disaggregation around share-based payments between between cost of goods sold and SG&A, similarly for warranty expenses, perhaps some other items. But to present a by nature P&L alongside by function seemed to be a big ask. There was also a view that, you know, the ultimate answer for an analyst is to have a whole matrix completed in, filled in. And so we took us back to our compromise suggestion was a middle path here. So then in terms of quantitative thresholds, there was very limited enthusiasm across the group. It felt as though materiality was a more important concept for us. There was a view that actually perhaps thresholds were easier to use in the balance sheet than in the P&L, that you could express items as a percentage of total assets or total liabilities. And I think where we landed was more about a narrative description of what was included in other. And other was the most contentious point, actually using that as a way forward rather than quantitative thresholds. And then on the third question, minimum line items and templates, I think the overall advice to the board here was to act with a degree of caution. There was concern that templates, even if they're just guidance, turn into requirements. There was an observation that actually there's a degree of self-policing that goes on at the moment through the collective action of preparers and capital markets, that if there's a peer group standard, others will follow. And there was also a sense that there's a danger that templates may actually be an impediment to further innovation. And so concerns there. But the one exception to that was, and I we didn't have a bank preparer amongst us, but perhaps there is an issue within the banking sector. I think that was the one area we thought where there was scope to actually do some work and generate some value. And so, Anne, can you give us the report from the fourth group, please?
Thanks, Nick. We took the questions in reverse order, so I'm going to do them in reverse order, just get you to have some brain gym. So that meant that we talked first about templates. So there was a little bit of support at high level for templates, only three industry groups, banks, insurance, and the industrials. But then there was the caution around templates. The comment was made that the audit firms have the templates, so why would the ISB want to waste their time? However, we did recognise the issue with banks. We did have someone in our group that had experience with the very detailed templates that exist for banks. We got onto minimum line items, and we actually went outside the income statement and started talking about balance sheet and cash flow statement. And on a wish list, there was discussion about defining debt in terms of balance sheet. There was also something we have heard before, and that's the linking of income statement, cash flow statement, and balance sheet so that numbers can articulate between them. Something important for analysts. Slide 18, the question about the thresholds. As the other groups have said, our group talked about avoiding the large other category. Large is not in itself a problem if it's homogeneous and it's properly labelled. So we also talked about the importance of the labelling of what's in other. Some people in the room had experience with accounting policies that saying around 10%, looking at that themselves within the entity as a threshold, and then applying materiality to that to decide how to aggregate and disaggregate. But like other groups, we also said there are potential problems around thresholds because of regulatory and audit issues. Which then brought us to slide 15, and we're all very keen to get to this because we liked the diagram, the coloured diagram. And we're very keen, and we jumped in with a lot of agreement on option C, and this is something that the board had discussed. So option C was this one, this column down here. So I was really encouraged by this agreement in the room. In fact, some of our people said that options A and B were actually not helpful, not confusing. They didn't agree with your group, didn't like the matrix, thought that might do their heads in.
Just to clarify, it's only one person. It's not the whole group. Not the whole group. I think the whole group would be up in arms about the matrix.
And so that was encouraging. We did have some consensus. So then, on the back of that, we went on and got into line items, what particular things that we might like to see disclosed as line items. And various candidates were put forward, depreciation, amortisation, with a breakup in there, Nick, on amortisation, depending on what assets are being amortised, litigation, research and development, perhaps if you've had large consultants' expenses. And then we paused, because obviously what we were finding was that there's a range of items, so which items would be specified, and then how would they be defined? And obviously, as we all know, entities differ. So started from a point of consensus, got down to the bottom, not so strong.
Thank you.
Thank
That's
you.
Very clear. So having heard all of that, are there any other observations? I can see Peter's ready, or questions? Peter.
I am somewhat amazed that you all are so afraid of templates. I'm not sure whether Sweden is a special place to work with, but we have templates and the companies are following the templates and they are defined in the legislation and we are a part of the EU, so I assume that most of you already work with these templates and they work very well, except for the banks. So I cannot really understand why you are so afraid of ISB trying to define the template. Period.
I mean, you do remind me of one other impediment, however, which there is a clear interplay between regulatory requirements and standard setting, and so that is an issue there which we'd have to be mindful.
But we started up this session by being afraid of the EU taking over.
Yep. Yep.
And this is definitely a field where they have the upper hand. Yep.
Yep.
So why not grab it?
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Good point. Any other comments? Denise, would you like to sum up what you've heard?
Very difficult to sum up the first issue, in fact, because I think we have mixed views on the disaggregation functional line items by nature. I think somehow we confirm the fact that ideally, well, users want to have additional information by nature because this information is useful. However, well, preparers have indeed some reservations about you know, having to provide this information because, I mean, they might not have it available. I had opportunity to visit some of the discussions, and I think somebody also was mentioning about standard costing and the fact that they will not be able to disaggregate, for example, cost of production or cost of sales at all. That was what I heard. So I think, well, I think that the takeaway that I have here is that the middle ground solution from the board, well, actually could work. You know that some additional information by nature would be required at some kind of high level, but I think we need to be a little bit cautious about the form or the format that this information, additional information by nature, would take. Because I heard that there are some concerns about the fact that you would be unable to disaggregate specific line items. So we need to be very careful which specific line items we ask you to provide additional information by nature, irrespective of the format that it takes. Just for the second issue on numerical quantitative thresholds, I think that there is some consensus. There is consensus on the fact that there are large items out there that need to be disaggregated somehow. However, thresholds do not seem to be the most appropriate tool or mechanism to disaggregate these line items. The messages I got is that maybe we should think about other ways of promoting this disaggregation. In one of the groups, they also mentioned, I think it was in your group, that they mentioned that maybe this conceptual criteria that we are developing on how to distinguish between dissimilar items, you know, maybe it would be more useful rather than having, you know, percentage that would require preparers to disaggregate things that some of you mentioned we cannot disaggregate. There seems to we will reach to a point where other has to be other, and there is no way to disaggregate it. Yeah, and you mentioned that, well, materiality should be the most important criteria, in fact, and that should prevail. However, well, the board asked us to come back and bring some principles-based guidance to try to encourage more disaggregation of large other items, and I think that's what we'll do, and we will use some of your ideas to do that. And then on the third topic, on templates and minimum line items, I think exactly this proved to be one of the unpopular items today because, well, as our board members mentioned, well, this from the feedback they've got, this will be a long-term project. We need to really think about very carefully about which templates, for which industries, which line items, again. And you know, there's always a risk, as we pointed out in our presentation, that this might tend to become authoritative, even if we just include them as examples. You know, people like to copy our examples, and you know, and that's not always welcome, you know, by users because they want more granularity, etc. So, yeah,
okay.
I think that's
great. That's a good summary. So once again, thank everyone for their input today. I think that's been very helpful. That finishes our formal session today, and we'll pick up with our deliberations again tomorrow morning.